97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I'm Ryan Ranker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Oh boy, joining us now is Newsweek senior editor at large, also host of the Josh Hammer Show. You hear it weekends here on 97.1 FM Talk. Josh Hammer, hello, sir.
Hey, it's great to be with you. I appreciate it as always.
I have to say that Fox News at the top of the hour gave us perhaps one of the best Donald Trump clips I've heard in a long time. I don't know if you heard it, but I'd like to play it for you. As someone in radio, I think you'll truly appreciate this Donald Trump drop.
He's a knucklehead.
Perfect, isn't it? That's all you need. Donald Trump calling someone a knucklehead is all you need for a talk show anymore.
Look, he's known for this. He's definitely known for these wonderful nicknames. That is pretty much undeniable at this point, I would say.
Oh yeah, but it's almost like a gift that keeps on giving. It seems like anytime there's a press conference, you can pull something new from it. That's like old school Trump back in the first term. He used to give that. You don't get as many this time around. So I wanted to talk to you about this meeting of Mamdani in New York, and it sounds like Democratic lawmakers who are meeting with him are trying to find ways to support him, meaning they want to give him conditional support, so they're trying to find ways for him to back down a little bit on his super socialist views in order to make it work based on their worldview. Is that what it sounds like?
Look, the Democrats in New York City are somewhat between a rock and a hard place, right? Especially the old guard. I saw Jerry Nadler, who is considered to be the elder statesman of the New York City congressional contingent. He was quick out of the gate to throw his full weight and support for Zohra Mamdani before we knew really anything whatsoever about the state of the Andrew Cuomo and or Eric Adams races, but This has been the song and dance that I think a lot of Democrats who are still even kind of sort of maybe somewhat sane have been trying to pull off for a very long time now. And this has been going on for at least a decade. I think back actually to the Iran nuclear deal and Chuck Schumer, another one of these New York Democrats. Chuck Schumer was under a lot of pressure. You know, Chuck Schumer, he used to go campaign in very Jewish parts of New York City, Brooklyn, which is where he's from and so forth there. And he would try to tell his constituents that he was running to be what in Hebrew we would say the shomer, which is the guardian of Israel. And he was trying to say this was actually his name, Schumer. I'm not sure that's true, honestly. It might just be a German name. But anyway, he was under a lot of pressure to oppose Barack Obama's nuclear deals, the point I'm making. And he did so at the very last second when he knew darn well that it was too late to make a difference. So this is kind of the song and dance that a lot of these so-called centrist moderate Democrats have been doing for a long time now, but it's become somewhat of an unstoppable, inexorable force because the natural direction of the Democratic Party is just trending in such an aggressively left-wing direction. I don't see this ship turning around anytime soon. And frankly, as a conservative who wishes the Democratic Party nothing but pain and punishment, I'm not necessarily overly upset about that, I suppose.
Well, let me read this line from Politico. It says, as Democrats search for a winning message and campaign strategy heading into the 2026 midterms, some in the party have pointed to Mamdani's campaign and its social media virility, as evidence they need to focus more on cost of living issues rather than hot button culture war issues. So focusing on cost of living issues, it sounds like they may start learn some of the mistakes from this past election, and they're going to try to remedy that through a socialist, which kind of is laughable.
Look, I mean, calling this guy a socialist, Mamdani, is, if anything, overly generous, right? I mean, this is a guy who, if you go to his social media history, if you do an advanced search on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it these days, you will find him literally citing the Communist Manifesto. I mean, he actually has quotes of Karl Marx, some of his most infamous lines, for every man according to his abilities, according to his needs. He's a communist. He is an actual student, disciple, acolyte of communism. And you kind of throw that in with his very, very pro-Islam, pro-Muslim stance while simultaneously being deeply anti-Israel, probably outright anti-Semitic. I'm sure he's no great fan of Christianity either, to put it clearly. When you combine these things, with communism with his stance on the religious issue, I think what you see is a single person who encapsulates what many of us have referred to over the years as this red-green alliance. this alliance between the Marxists, the communists, and the Islamists, who really have nothing in common whatsoever other than a mutual desire to overthrow Western civilization and the biblical origins of Western civilization. So he's kind of a one-man wrecking ball in that respect, the best encapsulation of that red-green alliance that we've seen in America, at least since Linda Sarsour was the leader of the Women's March back in 2017, give or take. And he's a total atrocity. As someone who grew up in the New York area, most of my relatives still live there. I can tell you firsthand, everyone is terrified of the possibility that he might win. But unfortunately, if I had to guess, I think he's probably going to win. To be honest with you.
Wow. Okay. Let's move on for the sake of time. But the Epstein file story, is it going to end with denying there's a list, or do you think this is going to further down the line and perhaps we're going to see something that resembles a list in the future?
I think that this story is going to die sooner rather than later. I have been saying this basically since day one. I frankly can't believe that we're still talking about it, right? And that everyone's still talking about it for that matter a week and a half after the DOJ and FBI put out that announcement. Now, I'm not defending the administration's handling of this necessarily. There have been obvious, very serious errors that have been made. Quite simply, trying to reconcile Pam Bondi's statements on Fox News back in February with what the DOJ just put out, it's a very, very difficult circle to square. And I think that people are rightfully upset. On the other hand, you ask the median Trump voter, I mean, what did you vote on? And it just beggars belief that most people would say transparency for the Epstein files. I mean, last I checked, most voters for Donald Trump, most conservatives, Republicans, and so forth there care first and foremost about the issues, about inflation, about the economy, jobs, crime, immigration, stability on the global stage, and so forth there. So I think that this is going to move on sooner rather than later, and I'm somewhat bamboozled that we're still here. I guess I'll end with this and say that there's one thing I know about President Trump's base is that they are extraordinarily loyal to President Trump, and if he truly, truly digs in his heels and say that we have to move on, which certainly seems like the move that he's pulling off right now, the people will fall in line sooner rather than later.
Okay. If people wanted to look you up online, where can they go?
I'm on X, Josh_Hammer. Instagram is Josh B. Hammer. And then my own show, which can be heard right here on Saturday afternoons, actually, is the Josh Hammer Show as well.
Fantastic. Great work on the Josh Hammer Show and everything else that you do. I guess there's always something to talk about. So I'm sure you got a big show planned for this weekend. Good talking to you here in St. Louis.
You too. Always a pleasure.